Hi, I'm Layla. 20 years ago, my parents dropped me off at my Aunt Vivian's house with a duffel bag and a promise they'd be back in a week. That week turned into months, then years, and eventually I stopped waiting by the window every afternoon. I was 10 when they left, and Aunt Vivian became my everything. You don't need to look so nervous, dear. Just a bit more paperwork and we'll be finished. Mr. Collins, Aunt Vivian's attorney, pushed another document across the polished mahogany table for my signature. Sorry, it's just... I still can't believe she's really gone. 3 weeks since the funeral, and saying those words still felt like swallowing glass. She was very specific about her wishes. Very organized, your aunt. The reading of the will had been yesterday, and I was still in shock. The mansion where I'd grown up, the chain of boutique hotels Aunt Vivian had built from nothing, her investment portfolio, her art collection, all of it, now mine. My head was spinning with figures that seemed unreal. What about Claire? She's Vivian's blood relative, I'm just... You were her daughter in every way that mattered, Mr. Collins interrupted gently. Miss Vivian made her wishes exceptionally clear. I remembered Claire's face at the reading. My cousin had gone from sobbing dramatically to white-hot fury when she learned she was receiving only Aunt Vivian's vintage jewelry collection. She doesn't deserve any of this, Claire had shouted, her perfectly manicured finger pointing at me. She's not even family. That's quite enough, Claire, Mr. Collins had said firmly. Your aunt's decisions are final. Now, signing the last document, I felt the weight of responsibility settling on my shoulders. Aunt Vivian had taught me about the business, had been grooming me to take over someday, but I'd always thought we'd have more time. What am I going to do with all this? I whispered, more to myself than to Mr. Collins. Exactly what Vivian knew you would, make it thrive. She had complete faith in you. Back at the mansion, my mansion now, I wandered through rooms filled with memories. Aunt Vivian teaching me to play chess in the library, birthday parties in the garden, late-night conversations about life and business in her study. I don't know how to do this without you, I said to the empty room. My phone rang, breaking the silence. Unknown number. Hello? Layla, is that you? A woman's voice, vaguely familiar yet strange. Who's this? It's your mother, Layla. It's Karen. My blood ran cold. 20 years of silence and now this call. Layla, are you there? Your father and I, we've been trying to find you. How did you get this number? My voice sounded distant, like it belonged to someone else. It doesn't matter. We've missed you so much. We want to see you. 20 years. My hands were shaking. 20 years and now you want to see me? We have so much to explain. Please just meet with us. Tomorrow? There's a coffee shop on Main Street, the Daily Grind. Can you come at noon? Before I could think better of it, I heard myself saying, Fine, noon. I hung up and sank to the floor, my back against Aunt Vivian's favorite armchair. After all this time, my parents had found me, right after Aunt Vivian died, right after I inherited everything. What a coincidence. I arrived at the Daily Grind 15 minutes early and chose a corner table with a clear view of the door. My hands wouldn't stop shaking. I'd called Marcus last night in a panic. You don't owe them anything, Lay, he'd said. I can come with you. No, I need to face them alone. But stay close. Now I watched as a couple entered the cafe, scanning the room. Despite 20 years, I recognized them instantly. Karen's blonde hair now had streaks of gray, and Daniel had gained weight, but their faces, my face, were unmistakable. Layla? Karen approached, tears already streaming down her cheeks. Oh my God, look at you. She tried to hug me, but I stiffened and stepped back. Let's sit down, I said, motioning to the chairs. Daniel cleared his throat awkwardly. You grew up beautiful, just like your mother. Let's skip the small talk. Why now? After 20 years? Karen reached for my hand across the table. I pulled away. We've been looking for you for so long, she said, voice breaking. Your father had gambling debts. Bad people were after us. We thought we were protecting you by leaving you with Vivian temporarily. Daniel nodded earnestly. We were in real danger. The plan was to come back when it was safe, but when we tried, Vivian had moved and taken you with her. That's a lie. Aunt Vivian never moved. We lived in the same house my entire life. Karen and Daniel exchanged glances. Well, we couldn't find you. We tried the house, but were told you'd moved. By who? When exactly did you try to find me? Daniel shifted uncomfortably. Must have been 13, 14 years ago? So you abandoned a 10-year-old, then waited 6 or 7 years before trying to find her? We were in a bad situation, Layla, Karen pleaded. We couldn't contact anyone without putting you in danger. The story unraveled further as they spoke. Daniel claimed they'd been in Mexico, then Karen mentioned Australia. They couldn't keep straight how many times they'd tried to find me or when. How did you find me now? Karen smiled sadly. We never stopped looking. We finally hired a private investigator. Must have been expensive, I said, watching their reactions. Worth every penny to find our baby girl, Daniel replied smoothly. I excused myself to the bathroom and texted Marcus. Their story is full of holes. Meet me at your place in an hour. When I returned, Karen was showing photos on her phone. These are from our life while we were searching for you. We always kept your picture with us. I feigned interest, noting how new and unused their clothes looked for people claiming financial hardship. I'm sorry about your aunt, Daniel said suddenly. The obituary mentioned she was a successful businesswoman. I hadn't mentioned Aunt Vivian's death, and there'd been no obituary detailing her business success. Yeah, it's been tough, I said, watching them. I'm still figuring out what to do with the estate. Karen's eyes lit up slightly. Must be overwhelming, all that responsibility. Completely. The mansion alone is more than I can handle. Daniel leaned forward. If you need help managing things, family should stick together. After an excruciating hour, I made an excuse about a work commitment. Can we see you again? Karen asked desperately. Sure. Maybe you could come see the house? Tomorrow evening? Their eagerness was nauseating. At Marcus's apartment, I paced while he typed. Found them, he said eventually. Daniel and Karen Johnson. Multiple fraud charges in Florida, Texas, and California. They specialize in inheritance scams. He turned his laptop to show me their mugshots. They've been working together for years. Their MO is finding vulnerable people who've recently come into money. I sat down heavily. They didn't come looking for their daughter. They're hunting for their next mark. Marcus squeezed my hand. What do you want to do? A cold clarity washed over me. I want to give them exactly what they're looking for, and then I want to destroy them. Marcus and I spent the night installing tiny cameras and microphones throughout the mansion. By morning, every room was rigged to record. You sure about this? Marcus asked, connecting the last device to a monitoring system in my private office. Never been more sure of anything. These people abandoned me, and now they're back to steal what Aunt Vivian left me. They deserve whatever's coming. When Daniel and Karen arrived that evening with their luggage, I played the perfect hostess, showing them to the guest suite on the east wing. This place is even more magnificent than we imagined, Karen gushed, running her hand along the marble countertop in their bathroom. It's all so overwhelming, I said, putting on my most vulnerable expression. Actually, I wanted to talk to you both about that. Aunt Vivian's business affairs are complicated, and I'm drowning in paperwork. Daniel's eyes lit up. Anything we can do to help, sweetheart, that's what parents are for. There's a meeting tomorrow with the lawyers, something about transferring some assets. I don't understand half of what they're saying. We'll be there, Karen said quickly. We won't let anyone take advantage of our little girl. The irony was almost too much. Later that night, I watched them on the monitors from my office, their true selves emerging once they thought they were alone. Did you see her face when I called her sweetheart? Daniel laughed, loosening his tie. Like a puppy begging for scraps of affection. Karen kicked off her heels. She's completely clueless, practically begging us to take over her finances. We hit the jackpot with this one. The inheritance is bigger than we thought. That old bat must have been loaded. How did you find the obituary again? Karen asked, pouring herself a drink from the bar cart. Daniel smirked. Wasn't an obituary. Ryan at the courthouse tipped me off about a massive estate transfer to someone named Layla Johnson. Took one Google search to find out it was our long-lost daughter. Lucky she kept your last name. Lucky she's so desperate for family, she's practically throwing money at us. I clenched my fist so hard my nails left marks on my palms. The next morning, I was setting up documents in the study when the doorbell rang. My heart sank when I saw Claire on the security camera. What are you doing here? I hissed, opening the door just enough to block her view. I left some things in Aunt Vivian's room. Who are these people? She pointed at Daniel and Karen's rental car in the driveway. My parents. They've suddenly reappeared. Claire's eyes widened. The ones who abandoned you? And you let them in? It's complicated. I need you to leave now. Not until you explain. Daniel appeared behind me. Who's this lovely young lady? I'm her cousin, Claire. And you are? Daniel Johnson, Layla's father. We're helping our daughter manage her new responsibilities. Claire looked at me with disbelief. Are you serious? These people ditch you for 20 years and now they're helping? Claire, please. You need to watch yourself, Daniel said, his tone suddenly hard. Family business should stay in the family. Claire stared him down. I am her family. Where were you all these years? After a tense standoff, Claire left, but not before whispering, Call me. This isn't right. That afternoon, I staged the lawyer meeting in the home office. I laid out documents about transferring hotel ownership and gave Daniel and Karen time to study them while I took a call. Watching the monitor, I saw Daniel immediately start taking photos of the documents. This is it, he whispered to Karen. With these properties alone, we're set for life. What if she changes her mind? Daniel's face darkened. She won't. And if she tries to back out, I'll remind her how easily abandoned children can have accidents. No one would question a tragic fall in this big house. That was all I needed. I sent the video clips to Marcus and texted, Time for phase two, dinner tomorrow night, invite Claire and Mr. Collins. Marcus arrived early to help set up the projector in the dining room while I finalized dinner preparations with shaking hands. They threatened to kill you over money, Lay. They deserve this. Mr. Collins arrived first, followed by a suspicious Claire. Why am I here exactly? You'll see. Daniel and Karen strutted in like royalty, Karen wearing Aunt Vivian's borrowed necklace. What a lovely gathering, Karen cooed, eyeing Mr. Collins. And who might this gentleman be? Aunt Vivian's attorney. Let's have a toast to reunions and revelations. Marcus dimmed the lights and started the video. Daniel and Karen's voices filled the room. Did you see her face when I called her sweetheart? Like a puppy begging for scraps of affection? She's completely clueless, practically begging us to take over her finances. The recording continued with Daniel discussing how they found me through the estate transfer, ending with, And if she tries to back out, I'll remind her how easily abandoned children can have accidents. Claire gasped. Daniel lunged for the laptop. Turn that off right now. Recording conversations in your own home is perfectly legal, Mr. Collins stated calmly, especially when there's evidence of criminal conspiracy. Daniel flipped the table, sending dishes crashing. You ungrateful little bitch! He charged toward me, but Marcus intercepted him while Claire called the police. Karen broke down. It wasn't supposed to go this far. We just needed money. So you abandoned your daughter for money, Claire said disgustedly. We were young and stupid. Vivian was loaded, so we left Layla with her. There's something else, Mr. Collins interjected, producing a document. Vivian anticipated this. There's a specific clause excluding Daniel or Karen from any benefits if they ever attempted to claim any portion of Layla's inheritance. Karen collapsed. She knew we'd come back. The police arrived minutes later, arresting Daniel for assault and threats. Karen left in humiliation. After they left, Claire approached me. I'm sorry I was such a jerk about the inheritance. I had no idea what you went through. 1 month later, I established the Vivian Johnson Foundation for Abandoned Children. Marcus helped me run it, proving himself to be more than just a friend. Claire and I made peace, finding unexpected common ground. Daniel pled guilty and faced jail time. Karen disappeared to Arizona with a new identity. Going through Aunt Vivian's personal items, I found her letter. The day your parents left you was the luckiest day of my life. They gave up a treasure they didn't deserve. Never doubt that you are loved. Not for what you have, but for who you are. For the first time since losing her, I smiled through my tears. The past no longer had power over me. I was finally free. What would you have done in Layla's position? Would you have exposed your parents publicly like she did? Or would you have just cut them off quietly without the confrontation? Is public humiliation a fitting punishment for those who try to use and manipulate others? Share your thoughts in the comments below. If you enjoyed this revenge story and want to hear more like it, hit that like button and subscribe to our channel. New stories every week about people who got exactly what they deserved.